This is stotram form. Some of the other sahasranams that we've translated are in namkara, or swaha karvidhi, which means they are a list of names to which we add swaha after each name. And that means that each name is entered in the dative case, which means to such and such an individual, swaha, we unite, or we become one with God. So this is in stotram form, so all of the names are in nominative case. So it's just a string of names, like the subjects of a sentence, like an invocation we're calling. It's different from the dative case where we're offering to you. So now they're all put together in Anushtup Chandra, 32 syllables to the breath, 16 to the line, 8 to the quarter of the verse. So after every 8 syllables, there's going to be a pause. And if we remember that, we'll pretty much break the sandhi of all the names, just as we recite. Yeah. Oh, the sandhi, union, the junction between the various forms of grammar is all united in the sandhi. Now, the reason we study the names, and you notice we've done a lot of books on thousand names of many deities, each of the names is indicative of certain qualities that spiritual seekers will want to inculcate in our own practices as we proceed closer and closer to communion with that productive. And that's why it's important to study the names, to recite the names, to live with the names of God. For example, Kali. She is the deity of our book. And Kal means darkness. And Kali, she who takes away the darkness. And that's why she's dark herself, because she has taken all of our darkness away. And as soon as she takes our darkness away, we become illuminated beings. Div means to shine. The devas are the shining ones. The gods and goddesses are divine because they're illuminated. They're shining because they gave all the darkness to Kali. So Kali and Gauri, she who is rays of light, are the two sides of the same being, the two sides of the same coin. Someone says, I gave up my darkness. Another one says, I illuminated my light. But both come together. Kali Durge Namo Nama. Durga is another name for Gauri, she who is rays of light. So in this way, as we study the names and the thousand names of Kali, we're going to find a thousand attributes that we can apply into our lives as spiritual seekers, find a thousand different ways to give up our darkness and illuminate our lights. Now, this Sahasranam is very unique, as they all are, in their own ways. But this one is very unique because so many names have so many meanings on so many levels. We could discuss them and discuss them for a long time to come. In fact, the sadhus who worshipped Kali and practiced the sadhana of Kali, they spent years and years in contemplation and study of these names, because that was the sadhana, how to inculcate and get the fullest meaning what the text is trying to tell. So with those words of introduction, let's begin, and we'll recite the names in English. And if there are any questions, stop me along the way. If I have any observations, I'll offer them without question. She who is the remover of darkness from the cremation grounds or from death. So she takes us beyond fear, beyond death, beyond the transformation. And she resides in the cremation grounds, which is historically where we give up all of our attachments. She removes the darkness which is surrounding all attachment. She who is the remover of darkness. She who is the excellent remover of darkness. She who is the bearer of the skulls of impurity. So as you see, she has this mundamala. She has all of this garland of skulls which she has collected by cutting down all of the impure voices that are chattering inside our arena of confrontation. Every time we sit down to contemplate, all of these impure thoughts come and they begin to attack us.
That's quite a phrase. The arena of confrontation. I like that one, Swami.
Well, some other people call it meditation. I'm sorry, let's be a little more honest. When we sit to meditate, we enter into the arena of confrontation and all the asuras like to attack us. She who is the hidden or secretive remover of darkness. And she's hidden because she's inside. And you have to go inside to find the secret. She who is the great remover of darkness. She who confronts the forces of duality. I didn't make that up. She who is the cause of removing darkness. She who is the dark knight of egotism. She's the darkness of overcoming that egotism. She who is the eternal mother of great time. She who is the wife of the fearfulness of infinite time. And so Mahakal is the infinite time. And Bhairav, who is fearless. And she is the Bharya, the wife of he who is the fearlessness of infinite time, or fearfulness. And she who illuminates the whole world family. Just like Sri. She who is the giver of all desire. Kamada. She gives all the desires. And she who is the giver of this desire. Whichever one we're contemplating. And she who is desired. She who is the intrinsic nature of that which is desired. She whose limbs are anointed with the juice of musk. She who moves like the lord of elephants, Indra's Aryabharp. She who is all the limbs of the letter Ka, the cause. Remember we studied the Kadi Vidya in Lalita Trishati. Ka-e-ilarim, hasaka-halarim, sakalarim. She who is all the limbs of the letter Ka. She is Sharashi, Panchadas Akshar, the 15-lettered mantra of Kadi Vidya, of Sri Vidya. Ka is the cause, the ultimate Karan, Adikaran. She who is this desire, she who is beautiful desire, she who is the object of desire, she who is the form of desire, and she who is the cow which fulfills all desires, Kamadeno. She comes like the cow that grants all desire. Kamadeno's name is Nan. She who is the repository of all qualities or arts, she who is beauty enhanced by love. Remember, there was the difference between Kanti and Sundari. And Sundar was just beautiful on its own. But Kanti becomes even more beautiful because of our relationship to it. Because of our love, the beauty radiates even more. A greater beauty. She who is the intrinsic form of desire. She whose name is desire. She who protects excellence. She who is excellence. She who is the repository of excellence. She who is the reliever of difficulties. She who is the destroyer of all various difficulties. She who is ever pure. She who gives birth to excellence. She who manifests all action. She who has a dark body. She who holds aloft all action. She who embodies all action. She who is the embodiment of excellence. And she who causes dissolution of the subtle body into the causal body. Remember, the Ka is the cause. Ra is the subtle body. E is the causal body. Anuswar is the perfection. She is the cause of bringing that subtle body into the causal body in perfect communion. Green. Yes?
I've been meaning to ask this for a long time. What exactly is the causal body?
The gross body is that which is perceivable through the senses, tangible, empirically verifiable. The subtle body is that which is conceivable in the mind, all thought. Gross body would be jagrat. The subtle body would be swapna. The gross body is waking consciousness. The subtle body is dreaming or daydreaming or thinking, contemplating consciousness. And sushupti is deep, dreamless sleep. That's the all that is perceived through intuition or meditation. That's the causal body. All that is perceived through intuition or meditation, as compared with that is which is conceived in the mind, or that is which is perceived through the senses.
So again, not to divert from the topic, but even the Chandi, when you say Namastasye, 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 what exactly does it mean to you? When you say in three levels,
we bow to you on the gross level. We bow to you in the subtle body. We bow to you in the causal body. We bow to you again and again. On every level of consciousness, my consciousness is filled with respect to you. I believe that's its intention. So here, Kringkari is the form of Kali, where she is causing that subtle body to merge into intuitive perception, going beyond thought into intuition. And you move out of your mind into your heart. She who is a lotus, Lakshmi, this is indicative of all the Sahasranamas. Lakshmi is a name of Kali. If you read the Lakshmi Sahasranama, Saraswati is a name of Lakshmi, etc., etc. There is only one divinity. And these are just expressions of various relationships we have with that one divinity. She who is art or all attributes. She who has a gaping mouth. She who dissolves all into her being. And she whose excellent beauty is undefeated. She who is terrible. She whose light is terrible. She who is light. She whose objects of consciousness are varied. Vipra-citta. Remember, the citta are all the objects of consciousness. Citta vritti nirodh iti yoga. With the cessation, the prohibition of all modifications in the objects of consciousness is the culmination of union. That's yoga. Now, vipra-citta means many modifications. The citta is constantly being modified. She whose objects of consciousness are varied. She who has a great face. She who has the complexion of a dark cloud. She who exemplifies the freedom of a swan. And she who is verse. She whose positions of her limbs are extremely elegant. She who is creative energy. Brahmi. She who is the exposer of consciousness. Narayani. Narayani is the Shakti of Narayan. That is the distinction between Vaishnava and Shakta. And Shaivite becomes very much blurred as soon as we start studying what is the thousand names of each deity. They're not separate. She who is excellent. She who is the excellent of excellence. She who nourishes all devotees. She who is the great seer of all. And she who moves in the paradigm of consciousness. Everything we perceive. That's exemplified by Kali standing on Shiva's chest. Mother Nature dancing on the stage of consciousness. Shiva doesn't act. He witnesses the actions of nature. Nature acts because that's her nature. And if we ask her not to act, we're asking her to defy her own nature, which is impossible. She who moves in the paradigm of consciousness. She who is the boar of sacrifice. Yagivarahi. She who is the ferocious half-human, half-lion of courage. Nrisimhi. Narsinghika. She who has limbs of lightning. She whose head shines like lightning. She who is adorned by a garland. She who is the energy of the consciousness of infinite goodness. She who wears a garland of skulls. Again, she's taken all the impurities away from us. And all of our negativities wither on the garland that she wears. She who holds the head of a man. See in her lower hand there. She's holding the head of a man. She holds the head of the ego. And as long as the ego stays there, it's comfortable to be here. As soon as she lets go, I have so much to deal with. And that's why the prayer of our puja is, please, don't let go. From the garland of skulls around her neck fall drops of blood. Here she severed the heads of all the negativities, and the blood is indicative of passion. So all the negative passions are just flowing. And she's oblivious. They don't make any impact upon her at all. She whose limbs are covered by red sandal paste. She whose forehead is marked with the vermilion of love, which brings the light of wisdom. Remember, the charioteer who drives the chariot of the sun. His name is Arun. And Arun is driving the chariot, that pure love, which brings the light of wisdom. He comes first. And that's symbolized in the tilak, in the third eye. The love which brings the light of wisdom. She who is of fearful form. She whose teeth are fearful. She who is auspiciousness, which takes beyond inauspiciousness. She who is pure. She who has great teeth. She who is the great definition of consciousness. Also, that's Maya. It's also the limitation of consciousness. It's also the measurement. Ma means to measure. The great measurement of consciousness. That is, consciousness is infinite. Where does her measurement stop? It's the great measurement of consciousness, the great definition of consciousness, the great container of consciousness, the great exposer of consciousness. She who has excellent teeth, she who is beyond the ages of time, she who has beautiful eyes, she whose eyes are of indescribable form, she who has great eyes, she who has three eyes, she who is pleased as the autumn moon, she whose purity shines in her lotus eyes, she who has a great laugh in extreme pleasure, she who speaks words of remembrance, she who has excellent expression, she whose lotus lips smile, she whose face is always happy, she who is the beloved expression of love, she whose eyes are infinite, she who is the excellent of excellence or of excellent family, she who has a great mind, she who has various expressions, she who has an excellent mind, she who has a devious mind, she who is passion, she who destroys passion, meanness, and other negativities, she who is great, terrible passion, she who tears apart thought, she who is the cause of tearing apart all thought. So here Chandi and Chandika are names of Kali. Of course, Kali is a name of Chandi as well. But there's only one. She who destroys all passion. She who has beautiful hair. She who has unbound hair. And she who has long hair. She who has large breasts. She who has the ears of the cosmic body. She who has the hands and waist of the cosmic body. She is actually the cosmic body, or the embodiment of the cosmos. She who sits with disembodied spirits. She who is the beloved of disembodied spirits. She who is the land where disembodied spirits reside. She who resides in the cremation grounds. She who is merit. She who is the giver of merit. She who is the one of excellent knowledge, she who is the residence of merit, she who embodies merit, she whose every utterance is merit, and she who blows like a fresh breeze.
Thank you. What's the deeper meaning of disembodied? It's used again and again, disembodied spirits.
The disembodied spirits? Well, there are... It's the soul once it's left. And there are so many souls that are separated from their body. So she resides with the souls that are out of bodies. She is the beloved of the souls that are out of their bodies. There are souls that leave their bodies in meditation. And they rise up and into other realms of consciousness, other paradigms of reality. And these souls are disembodied spirits. I believe these are the spirits that they're talking about, where we're no longer bound by the baggage of the body, where the body isn't defining our identity, where we have no ego identification as the body. This is a disembodied spirit.
Are you talking about are you distinguishing between meditation and Mahasamadhi?
No, I'm not making any distinction whatsoever.
So that disembodied spirit may come back to the body again.
He may come back and become an embodied spirit. He will come back and take on a body again.
I mean in 15 minutes or 2 hours.
He may do it in 15 minutes or he may do it in 1,500 years.
It's a long meditation.
Well, but Shiva does it for hundreds and thousands of years of time. Remember when Shiva was in meditation samadhi for 50 million years.
He remembers.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Mahavir remembers.
And Sati said, this is really boring. Yeah, I'm not going to sit around here and watch him meditate for 50 million years. We've got to find something to do. And then she saw that some people were going to a great yajna at her dad's house. And she said, Shiva, wake up. I want to go to my dad's yajna. Daksh Prajapati is having a yajna. I'm not just going to sit around here and watch you meditate. That's no life. Well, remember, Shiva said, let's forget that. Let's not go to the yajna. Stay home and meditate. And Sati demanded, and so she went by herself. All kinds of things happened from that.
What about devious mind?
Devious mind.
She has a devious mind.
She does have a devious mind. She is the mind of all minds. And some approach her with goodness and some approach her with deceit. She is the mind of all minds. She is the stuff of all minds. She is the chitta. Remember, the antakaran is comprised of mon, buddhi, chitta, and ahamkar. The inner cause is comprised of subjective thought, all the adjectives and adverbs of experience. Buddhi, objective thought, all the nouns and verbs of experience. If I say, this is a book, that is buddhi, objective thought. It is a statement of fact, definition. If I say, this is a good book, and everyone should buy it. Mon, a statement of opinion. Both of them together become chitta. The objective thoughts and the subjective thoughts are all stored as the objects of awareness. And that gives birth to ahamkar, the ego. Cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. You take away the subjective thought, you take away the objective thought, you take away the ego. In fact, you become quite thoughtless.
Swami, where do those thoughts come from?
Her. So she is the mind of all minds.
So do they float by the ego, or do they come out of the ego?
Oh, no. Their origin is in nature. She is the embodiment of nature, and therefore they come from her. And they become embodied within every one of us. We all have samskaras, tendencies, to fulfill our prarabdha karma, the actions commenced in the past which are coming to fruition in the present and in the future.
So those thoughts accrete onto the ego?
The ego becomes the manifestation of all those thoughts. The ego comes into an embodied form with samskaras, tendencies. He has an objective of life. He has prarabdha karma which must be fulfilled. He has debts of karma which have to be paid back. And when he comes into the embodied state, then the thought begins. Why am I here? What am I to achieve? What is the purpose of my being? And thereafter we begin to educate ourselves for the fulfillment of our purpose and condition ourselves to greater thought and greater thought still. Now, some of those egos became embodied with the samskaras of becoming great Brahmins. And our thought and our conditioning pushed us in the direction of how do I reduce those thoughts? And how do I discriminate as to which ones of those thoughts I want to entertain? And which thoughts are peripheral that will take me in tangents away from my goal? And then those individuals decided that they would rather come to the Devi Mandir on Saturday night and study the Sahasranam of Kali and listen to the names of God rather than go to the disco or go out and party. And I bow to all those great souls who have such karma. Yes, Parvati.
That feeling of separation when we take birth, that doesn't seem to occur until a few years later. I mean, like when a child's born.
He cries immediately.
Yeah. But he doesn't, is that, he's reacting from the causal level then? Because he doesn't have the thought, I yet, really.
Well, as soon as we come out of the womb, we're slapped upon the bottom and say, take a deep breath. And at that point, we experience pain. Now, whether it's formulated into a concept as yet, I don't know. But from a causal level, certainly on some level, we're feeling the pain of separation. Yes.
Can we sort of diverge a little bit and talk something about this prarabdha karma?
Yes, we can.
Okay. In terms of will versus destiny, your own free will versus... So you don't want to talk about it. Is that what you're trying to say?
Just a slight divergence.
Just a little bit of a tangent here.
Well, it's the prarabdha karma determines whatever happens in this life. Let's just say this life for now. Correct?
We have two parents, a mother and a father. Lord Shiva is the Lord of free will, and the Divine Mother is the Lord of karma. The Divine Mother says, as you sow, so shall you reap. You will get the fruit of your karma. You will enjoy the fruit of your karma whether you like it or not. Lord Shiva says, you have a free will to change it. Now, you were probably born as a Vaishya in a business, a mercantile family. You grew up in the back of a store. You educated yourself to be a successful doctor. And here you are as a Brahmin sadhu. You had karma, which was predetermined, and you had a will to change it. And one day you walked into your office and said, I don't want this practice anymore, and I don't need that house anymore, and I'm moving to California.
Devi Mandir.
I'm going to the Devi Mandir.
All the other Devas and Devas.
I'm going to live as a sadhu in the Devi Mandir. You have both the sanskaras of your both parents. You are the child of your mother and you're the child of your father. And as a child of the mother, you will get the fruit of your karma. And as the child of your father, you have a free will to change it.
But the arrow is shot.
Yes, it is.
And it's gonna, wait a minute, relax.
The father and the mother are one.
But it's going to land. The arrow is going to land. It's already been shot. What free will do I have?
You shot another arrow when you walked into your office and said, gee, I don't like this life anymore. I'm going to become a sadhu.
But wasn't that shot years ago?
Yeah.
To make that decision?
You're a big shot. Yes, David.
Swami, you talk about the mother and the father, but there's just one God. You know, so
yes.
Free will and predetermination are both in one.
Yes. They are inherent within one another.
So how can you answer this question, Evan?
You can't. That's why it's a slight tangent from where we're going. That's why he wasn't about to tackle it in the first place. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Doctor?
You got an answer on that now?
She who is the one of excellent knowledge. She who is the residence of merit. She who embodies merit. She whose every utterance is merit. And she who blows like a fresh breeze. She who is the daughter. She who is pure. She who is supreme. She who illuminates the fullest merit. She whose name is meritorious. She who takes away fear and doubt. She who is the grantor of boons. She who has the sword of wisdom in her hand. She who holds the skull of impure thought. And she who holds the severed head of duality. She who has an excellent organ of scent. She who looks to the south. She who is the offering made in respect for guidance. She who has a dark complexion. And she who is dark. She who is peace. And she who raiseth the trident in her hand, she who wears space, Digambara, she's clothed in space. All the directions are her garment. She whose sound is terrible, she whose beauty creates, she who is the vehicle of passion, she whose sound is terrible, she who is with Shiva, she who is without any other, she who is the ultimate intoxication. She who is the great mind or thinker. She who is the foremost mind or thinker. She who is the giver of preeminence. She who resides in the ocean of purity. She who is the extremely great mind. She who is the great, great mind. She who is the cause of all attraction. She who is the beloved of songs. She who is extremely pleased by music. She who is the eternal dance of disembodied spirits. She who has four arms. She who has 10 arms. She who has 18 arms. See her there with 4 arms, with 10 arms, and with 18 arms in the center. She who is ever pure. She who is the mother of the perceivable universe. She who is the supreme ruler of the perceivable universe. She who is the friend of the perceivable universe. She who creates the perceivable universe. She who is the cause of bliss in the perceivable universe. She who is the manifestation of all life in the universe. She is who is born of Himalayas. She who is the great measurement of consciousness. She who is the great expression. She who is the sacred thread on the body of the snake, the adornment of Kundalini. She who is the snake. She who is the daughter of the snake. She who is the daughter of the gods. She who sings celestial divine tunes. She who is the supreme ruler of heavenly beings. She who is the knight of ignorance. She who is the great knight. She who supports all. She whose radiance destroys duality. She who grants great knowledge. She who has wealth. She who gives wealth. She who is always in union. She who is old. She who is the mother of all demons. She who is the female demonic being. She who is the expression of wisdom. She who illuminates wisdom. See, all the good, apavitra pavitrava, sarvabhastangatopiva, all the good, all the bad, all the positive, all the negative, dharma dharma divitva, atmanamanashi shrucha, ham eva ahangmang juhomi swaha. Dharma and adharma are both hovi, the offering to the divine fire. Aham eva, only I am offering to myself. Here she's the mother of the demons, she's the embodiment of all the demons, and she's the embodiment of all wisdom and all divine beings. The expression of wisdom. She who illuminates wisdom. She who is that which has been heard, especially the Vedas, which was passed on from guru to disciple by hearing, which is called sruti, that which has been heard. She who is that which is remembered, smriti, puranas, that which was written down. She who is great knowledge, she who is hidden knowledge, she who is the oldest manifested existence, she who is thought, she who is unthinkable, she who is oblations of ancestral praise, she who is oblations of I am one with God. Remember, swa means niche. One's own. Ha means Ishwar. Ishwar is my own. Swaha. Or I am one with God. She who is sleep. She who is partially awake. She who is daughter of the mountain. She who is without parts. She who cannot be divided. She who has a protruding tongue. She who is all knowledge. She who is the performer of purifying austerities. She who is the holy river. She who is Benares. She who is the wife of Indra. She who is the wife of Ram. She who is the wife of Shiva. She who always moves in truth. She who is systematized knowledge or method. She who is excellent systematized knowledge. She who is excellent taste. She who is satisfaction. She who is nourishment. She who is consistent solidity. She who is forgiveness. She who is words. She who is intelligence, she who is the great goal of existence, she who is the goal, she who is the blue goddess of knowledge, she who is the spirit of all sound, she who is the personification of one's own ocean of existence, she who is the mother of all bodies, she who is conquest, she who is victory, she who is rivers and oceans, she who is the expression of all, she who is the illuminator, she who resides in silence. Om ring sring kring parameshwari karike swaha. Well, these are the first 30 verses indicating the first 233 names. Do we have any questions?
Swamiji, what's the meaning of moves in truth?
Moves in?
He who moves in truth.
In
truth.
Truth. Oh, she moves in truth. Truth is her essence. Truth is her domicile. Truth is her destination. Truth is her vehicle. She is surrounded by truth and emanates from truth and projects truth. She is true existence. So she moves in truth and in reality as well.
And what's the difference between Saraswati and Neel Saraswati?
Well, Neel Saraswati, of course, Neel is the blue. And there are various forms of Saraswati. Sara means an ocean and a body of water. Swa means one's own. Ti means the embodiment. She is the embodiment of one's own ocean. The ocean stands for samsara. The sara, the ocean of all, of sam, samsara, the ocean of all. And we like to call it nam and rup, all names corresponding to all forms. So Saraswati is one's own embodiment of all names and forms, the ocean of all experience to an individual. Neel Saraswati, she is the color of the sky. She's without limitation. She is beyond any border. She's the color blue. Also, she's the gem, the jewel of all knowledge. So those are some of the attributes of Saraswati as opposed to Saraswati. Yes.
In Chandi, it says that Lakshmi came first.
Yes. Sarvas Adya Mahalakshmi. In the Chandi, it says that.
What's the significance of that order?
Laksha is a goal. Lakshmi is she who manifests the goal, the ultimate goal. What your goal is what you value. And what you value is your wealth. And in this sense, Lakshmi is the goddess of wealth, goddess of your values, your goals, your aspirations, your purpose in being. Maha means great. So she's like the great goal of all being, the great objective of manifestation, the great reason for all of this to come about. And remember, it says, Sarvas Adya Mahalakshmi Triguna Parameshwari. She was the supreme goddess who embodied all three qualities, Sattva, Raja, and Tama. And then from her own self, she divided herself into three. Now that's the story of the Chandi. In the Kali Sahasranama, we're looking at all of it through the eyes of Kali, because we know there's only one divinity. So in each of the scriptures that we study, we're looking at the one divinity through the focus on that particular aspect of divinity, taking us from the gross body to the subtle body to the causal body, and then merging in the union. So according to the Kalika Puran, Mahakalis, the first in the creation. According to the Shiva Puran, Shiva is the first in creation. Padma Puran has Mahalakshmi as the first in creation. In Skanda Puran, we have the Guru as the first in creation. And in this way, we have 18 different Puranas espousing 18 different first causes of the creation. Whereas in the Vedas, which we were studying last week, we found Ekam Shad Bipra. There's only one true reality, and that is the first cause of creation. So we're calling that one true reality by all the different names according to the different focuses, the different points of view that we have. Tonight, our point of view is through the paradigm of Kali. And maybe next week, it'll be through the paradigm of Lakshmi or Vishnu or anyone else. It's all one God. We're just using different ideas by which to understand the one divinity. These goddesses are gatekeepers, and they open the doors to the perception beyond form. Yes, please, Lata.
I just wanted to comment on your last sentence. You said you're using all these different ideas to understand the divine, but isn't it true that all these ideas are sometimes really conflicting? So, I mean, like, for example, some of them are like, if you take, she's the mother of the demons, and sometimes she's fighting against the demons. So, I mean, some of the ideas are not exactly logically correct, right? Wouldn't you say that?
Oh, well, it depends. If you try to reach that one divine being through logic, I think you're bound to fail. The logic will take you to a place where you can stop the mind and move beyond the mind into intuition. And that will be more valuable to us, to intuitively cognize our communion with the one supreme divinity will be of ever greater value to us than to logically determine the way. However, if she is the embodiment of all existence, both positive and negative, and when we pray to her with sincerity and focus and pure attention, then she withdraws her energy from the demonic qualities, from the forces of negativity, and gives that energy to the positive qualities, the forces of dharma. And therefore, I don't find a conflict. I think there's a reconciliation to every conflict, logically. But I don't want to know her only through logic. I want to use the logic to get myself beyond all doubt so that I can let go. And I can let go of the logic, and I can let go of the intellect, and I can let go of the mind and go into intuitive experience. That's where we're going to find the real validity of what these gods and goddesses are talking about. It certainly is not in the mind. The mind is only the translator of that intuitive experience. Are there any other questions? Comment.
But the Sunniti and Sunniti?
Sunniti. Excellent discipline or excellent system.
Okay.
Om Sang Sarasvati Namah.
And Avadut has a question.
Yeah.
Avadut has a question.
Oh, just a comment. Isn't it that the divine goes through everything, so it can be the demon and it can be the god itself? That's why the distinction may seem, how can one be a demon?
Well, the energy of all in everything is one energy. So sometimes it's manifest in one form and sometimes in another. Om Sang Sarasvati.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Swami.
Yeah.